Hello, and welcome to the DMV Business Show, a weekly show where we get to meet local business and community leaders in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia area. They get to impact their story and how they got there. You can expect to hear advice and learn about their journey and how they went from point A to point B. My name is Otto Sevilla, and I'm a commercial real estate advisor in the local DC, Maryland, and Northern Virginia area. I have been very fortunate to have worked with many amazing entrepreneurs and executives, from startup founders to international Fortune 500 companies. And one of the things I love about what I do is I get to form these great relationships with some interesting people. I get to know them and I learn about how it all started. And I love hearing a good business story. When I'm not working in commercial real estate, I just also happen to be the host of this show. So please enjoy and welcome to the DMV Business Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Otto Sevilla. And today, our special guest is Angela Franco. Angela is the president and CEO of the DC Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the show, Angela. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you. Thank you. Gracias por invitarme. Thanks for inviting me. Happy to be here.
Claro, placer es todo mío. So before we go into the DC Chamber of Commerce, if you can just explain to our audience, Angela, are you originally from the DMV area or where did you grow up?
So I was born in Berkeley, California, but I grew up in Colombia. I moved when I was under a year old and I did school and university and my master's in Colombia. And then I moved back here for the second time 20 years ago.
Okay. So you were born in Berkeley and then just a year and then you moved back to Colombia, South America.
Yes, to Colombia, okay. South America. My father, he got his PhD in education at University of Berkeley. So I was born there and then we moved back to Bogota.
I was going to ask you, what part of Colombia did you live in? Okay, Bogota.
In Bogota.
And you were in Bogota till what age?
So I was in Bogota until I was 31. I moved here when I was 31, 20 years ago. I'm 51 now.
Okay.
I have nothing to hide. I don't know why people hide their age. I love my age. Okay. I love aging, especially when you age happy and fulfilled.
Angela, but you don't look like you're 51.
That's what everybody says. Everybody thinks I'm younger, but it's okay.
You're going to have to share with me later in the show as far as you're a fountain of youth. What do you do to look like this?
No surgeries yet. That's another good thing.
100% natural. I like
it's a
that.
Natural. Yes.
So a lot of most of your life was in Bogota. So how was that? How was living in Bogota? What were you into as a child growing up in Bogota?
I grew up in a very loving family. We were six children. It was a very high, it was an environment where we, you know, our parents had expectations, you know, going to college was not an if, it's when. Education was a big part of who we were. And, you know, we grew up with the Jesuits, very close to the Jesuits. My father was in the seminary for many years. And then he decided not to continue. And he went back to college. And then years later, he met my mother. But they had a community of retired Jesuits. And we grew up very closely to them. So it was a very, values were important, community was important, education was very important, and family was the first priority. Okay. So my mother worked part-time. She stayed at home in the afternoons, and she worked with the Jesuits. And then my dad, he was a university professor, and he was all his life dedicated to education.
So when you were not busy in school in Bogota, it was a lot of, as far as extracurricular activities, religious?
It was, no, the extracurricular activities, you know, I don't think there were many in our school, maybe some sports, but I don't recall, I mean, I recall some of our friends were into sports, but it was not like the common thing to do to be in sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for me, I started selling jewelry when I was 11, so I spent time selling jewelry, and I make Christmas cards, so I did Christmas cards, and all my family and neighbors were my clients, and that's how I bought the Christmas presents. And I did things like that, I recall, but I was never into sports or anything like that. So
I love that. So for the jewelry, were you making it yourself?
No, I learned to make it later on in life. But at that point, no, at that time I would buy it from wholesalers. My father was my investor, and then I would sell it later. It was a lot of fun. I still sometimes when I can, because I don't have time, but it's one of the things that gives me joy, like to sell jewelry. And I make now, I make basic pieces.
Okay. That's nice. I love to hear that, especially at a young age, you had some entrepreneurial tendencies there as far as, like you said, buy wholesale and sell retail.
I would buy wholesale. I love retail. To this day, I love retail. And yeah, and I can, I love selling. So my mother always said that if she didn't pay attention, I would sell her too. I said she was right. I would sell her too.
Was that all natural as far as loving selling, or did you see that maybe with any family or friends, or?
Oh, I don't know. It has been natural, I guess. I don't recall anybody in my family like selling, mm-hmm. but I love the transaction piece. There's something about it that is fascinating to me.
I like that. It just reminds me, I grew up in DC and just growing up there, a lot of an elementary school here was with sports cards. So trading sports cards in recess with my friend, with basketball or football or baseball. And it was just a trading aspect. I loved it. And I remember it was great. That was the beginning for me.
Yes, exactly.
And so you went to college also in Bogota?
I went to college. I graduated from a school. It was an only girls Catholic school. They were actually American nuns. They were the Benedictines. And I graduated when I was 17, and I went to college, university we call it. Mm-hmm. I went to a small school whose name is Colegio de Estudios Superiores de Administración CESA. It was a very small school. I don't think we had more than 400 students back then, but it was one of the top schools in business in Colombia. It was very, very entrepreneurship driven, and a lot of the education was around building enterprise. I loved it. I was there for 5 years. And then I started working after that. And then later on, I did my master's.
So you knew that you were going to do business?
I don't know. I mean, I've always loved business and people. Those are kind of my two passions. So sometimes I think, and I said, maybe I would have been a good psychologist. I love psychology. So I think sometimes I'm a psychologist. I love psychology because I love people, but what I did is that I did business, and then I had a master's in finance, and then I did 1 year of life coaching that gave me great tools for me and to help people. And that's, you know, but I think I studied what I was meant to study, and I loved it, and I've done a very good career. I mean, I've never looked at life as having a job. You know, you can, if you have a career, you'll always find a job. That is so important. That's something that, you know, if I could tell, put everybody in everybody's mind. If you build a career, you're always going to have a job. And you build a career through your passion. What's your passion? What do you like to do? What you're good at?
That's so true. And it goes hand in hand as far as you mentioned psychology. And I think a good part of business is all the psychology, the communication with that other individual.
Yeah, it's a lot of... Yes, it's more about understanding the environment, reading the unspoken language.
So at 31, you come back to America, right? Mm-hmm. And was there a reason to leave Colombia then and come back here? Or?
No, I always think that it really was the hand of God that brought me here. Because I didn't have any... You know, I was blessed in every way. It was just something that happened. It just happened. And I ended, the next thing I know is that I'm here living, and I started all over again. I've never been afraid of starting all over again. And if I have to do it now, I don't think I would mind either.
Did,
I don't know.
when you came back here, was it this area? Because I know you said you were born in Berkeley in California, or where was it?
Yeah, I was born in Berkeley, but when I moved here, I moved to this area. I moved here because a friend of mine called, he was actually one of my boyfriends. We were together for a year, but we were very close. He called me and he said, why don't you come over and you spend some time here? And I was like, I want to go. But he called me again. And I always think that when you get two calls, it comes from heaven. And especially when you're not looking for them. But you sometimes you just have to listen to the universe. So when he called me again, I said, let me look at this. And I talked to my mother, and they, my mother gave me great support, my father as well, but my father was a little more, he was not that convinced that moving that way without, doing a master's or, going with something already in place was a good idea. But what I told myself is I'm just going to give myself 6 months. I'll study English, take a break and to decide what I want to do, and then we'll see. But I moved here and everything started to take its own course. So, that was a big lesson learned, is you just have to follow, you have to listen to your intuition. And sometimes, you hear and you say, this is what I need to do, but you don't want to listen, right?
When you come here, is it DC or Maryland, or where do you land?
I arrived to Virginia, close to Fair Oaks.
Okay.
He lived there close to the Fair Oaks Mall.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, because it was like 20 minutes in a bus to the metro. And then the Vienna metro stop that is on the other side. So I would take the 20 minute bus ride to the metro and then to the metro to Washington, DC when I found my first opportunity.
Okay. And did you know any basic English or very little, or?
No, I studied English since I was 6 years old. So I was not fluent, because sometimes we are not anything until God puts you in the middle and then you have to. But I understood everything. And then once I started speaking, I was fine. But it takes you, it takes for somebody to put you in the middle and not talk to you Spanish for you to learn, right?
Yes. That's the best way to learn.
That's the best way to learn. So really the first year I learned some, but I didn't speak as well. Then the first year that I worked for the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Foundation, because everybody spoke Spanish. So that's easy, right? I would speak Spanish. But then when I started working at the bank, that's when I really had to learn. There was no way out.
So when you come, you said you work at the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce?
So I worked for the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Foundation as an intern.
Okay.
I was in Colombia. I was the general manager of a pension fund that was a national position, but I was just not happy. It doesn't matter. You can be an intern, but if you're happy, you're happy. So I was happy, very happy being an intern. And I helped them. And obviously I had 12 years of experience working already. So I kind of started doing things, and that's when I met my mentor, and still to this day, we're very, very close.
Okay. And you mentioned after that, you mentioned a bank.
Oh yeah. So I was there for a year, and then I didn't have benefits. So they were paying me as a consultant. So, when it's a consultant, they give you a monthly fee, but you're responsible for taxes. You're responsible for paying your insurance. And I said, I really want something where I can start getting health insurance and get benefits and have financial stability, because that's the first thing you look for, right? Financial stability. And the president of the Hispanic Chamber, then he says, Angela, how can I help you? And I said to myself, I said, the last thing I'm going to do is work in a bank. But sometimes that's what you have, right? The opportunity you have. And I ended up working at BB&T. And I stayed there for 7 years, and I learned, and I, took advantage of every opportunity. I worked very hard, and I learned how to do banking here. That is very different. So you start getting into learning the language, learning the business language, learning how people think, and that's a mistake that a lot of people that move here, they think they know. But what you need to do is you need to just to listen at the beginning, just listen. go with the flow, do what people do, you know, watch carefully. And then I was there for 7 years. I had a lot of lessons. I learned a lot. And then after that, I was ready for something else. After 7 years, I mean, I was a small business banker, so I did lending. I was a commercial officer. Then I was the multicultural, you know, like manager coordinating the multicultural market. I ended up as the senior leadership team in the region that, you know, it was just something that I just was not expecting. The president back then, Luis Lobo, he was Latino and he was very supportive of Latinos in the bank. There were not many, and he was very, very supportive. So that was very, very helpful when I was there. But I didn't feel anyways that my career at the bank was going to go anywhere. I mean, when you, at least the way I look at it, I was at the bank, I loved it, but I was like, where do I go from here? You know, either you go to the corporate office, but you know, when you're on the commercial side, there was not much space for me to grow. And I was just feeling that I was outgrowing the position, not because it's not a great position. I just felt like I want to do something different or something more, whatever you want to call it, something different, I guess. And in that process, I got pregnant. I mean, I got married, I got pregnant. And then my son was going to be ready to be born. And I just decided that I didn't want to continue and started looking for opportunities. And every time I look for opportunities, I always do, I always put together a list of people that I can reach out to that can be helpful. You know, maybe that are looking at things in a different way than you are, or that you feel they're in a higher position and they can look things differently, or they have different connections. So I put a list together and I met with all of them while I was pregnant. And from those, I got 3 or 4 consulting opportunities. So I said, okay, I'm going to leave the bank. I made the decision that I was going to leave the bank. You just have to put your mind in. And I was like, I can stay here. But then one day I said, okay, I'm done. Regardless of what happens, I am not going back to the bank. And I got my, you know, leave. When you get pregnant, you have 6-8 weeks of leave to be with your baby. And I just, after that, I said, I'm not going back. And I started working as a consultant. And one of my clients was the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. So after a month, when my baby was born, the president of the chamber, then she called me and she says, you're going to be the next president. You know, I put your name and I said, I don't know if I want to do that or if I can do it. And she's like, you can do this with your eyes closed. And I said, okay. And I just started it as a consultant. And I said, okay, I'm going to help you while you find somebody. And I was there and I loved it. And the chamber grew. We became number 5. It was a great, there were great 7 years. I loved every day. I loved it. And then the chamber was growing. My son was growing. And then 7 years later, it was just time for me to step down. I decided to step down. You know, that's another lesson learned. You have to know when you need to step down. And things were in a place that I knew I needed to step down. So I decided it was not easy for me because I care deeply about the chamber. So I stepped down and I had an opportunity to work for the DC government. And I worked for the DC Health Benefit Exchange Authority, a whole different experience. I was behind the scenes. I was not leading anything at all. I was the spokesperson in Spanish and, you know, would help them with the business community, but I was very, very much behind the scenes. And it was great to take that time off. People don't take the time off because sometimes we feel like we have to go, go, go. But sometimes stopping and, you know, thinking things through and feeling things through and looking at what works for you and what doesn't work for you is key to, you know, to find your center. So I decided to step down. I was there for 3 years. And then one day they called me to help them with the DC chamber. So that's the story.
Angela, when you came in to the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce as a consultant, what were you consulting with? What was your role there?
Interim CEO.
But this is before the CEO told you she wanted to put your head in the ring for that position, right?
Oh, no. She left and I stayed as the interim CEO.
But before that, the beginning was you enter there as a consultant, right?
No, when I started as a consultant, it was as an interim CEO.
Okay. I understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned after 7 years, you knew it was time to go.
Yeah.
Is there any, let's say if someone feels like that out there, is there any signals or what do you think someone should look out for if they feel that they're in a position and it may be about that time possibly?
Yeah, I think that you start feeling burnt out. You start feeling that the relationships with the board are not there. That you don't have the same fire. You know, that there were, for example, for me, there were a lot of transitions in staff. There were a lot of things that came together. Like, I was just like, this is just not, and especially I was tired and I was burned out. And it's okay to say it. You know, we all get to that point. And if the most important thing is to say, you know, I feel tired, I'm burned out. That's human. It is totally human. And connecting with that human side of you is what keeps you, I mean, I don't know, sane. I'm not going to say healthy, but that in my mind, that's part of it. But it keeps you sane, you know, giving yourself that permission to be tired, to want to move on, to not want to stay with people that you don't want to be with. I mean, it is totally fine.
Yes.
No,
go ahead.
No, what is important is that whatever you build it so that it continues, so that it has continuity. And yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see that the chamber continues to do well, and a lot of the programs we put in place, they're still there. Like the expo it was a great project. The embassy dinner. I mean, there were some projects that are still there, and I think they're amazing.
During your 7 year period there, you led the organization through tremendous growth from where the members were, from where you started to where you took them. And I'm sure it was a group effort, but what are a few things you think you and your team did there during that 7 year period that helped with that amazing growth you went through?
Yeah, we built it, you know, one day at a time. It was really one day at a time. Keeping membership is not easy, because keeping membership is something that you have to call every single day. It's something that you have to call people every single day. So you call them and then you call them back and then you call them again and you give them a reason to join. So we build opportunities for them to join. We had a membership committee. I don't recall what other committees we had. We had a couple of women's group. We had a great women's group. We did the new member orientation. We were very much into networking and giving opportunities to businesses, connecting them with opportunities. And that helped greatly to build a membership. So, you know, but a chamber, if you don't take care of the chamber for 3 months, it can go down the hill like this. So it's something that you have to do every single day. And I was out presenting the chamber, representing the business community, the Latino business community. And it was a lot of fun.
So I guess before not that they weren't putting the attention there, but they were doing things much differently as far as the focus on the membership.
Yeah, membership, I don't think necessarily was a focus for the organization. I mean, they were starting to grow. They built some good programs. I was on the board of that organization before. I forgot about that. I was on the board.
Oh, okay.
For like 4 years before. And then, and I saw a lot of the transition that went through. Juan Albert was there for years. He was there for like 8 years. And that's how I met him. I mean, I met him in one of the conventions. And then they had a couple, 2-3 presidents after. And then, you know, and then I started there.
So as a banker, you were on the board?
As a banker, I was on the board.
Okay. I'm curious, now that you mentioned that, as far as, and you were, I know your focus was in the business community, since you were a business banker in commercial. Was that one of the avenues as far as attracting new clientele to the bank? As far as
Through a chamber of commerce, of course. Mm-hmm. That's why people join, because they want to expand their network. They want to get additional clients. Meet other people, serve the community.
And I assume you were successful at it since you were serving as a board member for many years there.
Yeah, but I don't remember how many clients I got from the chamber. I don't think that was the majority, but yes, I mean, obviously I met a lot of people. And I was more focused in really helping the chamber than helping me.
Okay.
And when you're a banker, you have to be focused in helping you than the chamber. But anyway, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. So then you joined the DC Chamber of Commerce when?
So I started in July 1st of last year.
During COVID?
During COVID, yes.
How was that for you?
Well, I don't know. I just, somebody has to do it, no? So I'm not, that kind of, those kind of situations are not difficult for me. I like those challenges.
Okay.
And it was, we managed somehow, but it has been now, I'm in a point that I'm starting to meet everybody in person, knowing who's who. You see everybody on the screen and then you meet somebody and then you think he's short and he's very tall. Or you think he's, heavy and he's skinny. So I'm excited to start to meet everybody.
Yeah. So when you joined the chamber, Angela, what was, I guess, priority you coming in on top of your list?
The priority was to, keep the organization moving forward through the pandemic. That was the number one priority, to fulfill our commitments. Into the first year, the first 6 months was hosting all the events we needed to do and fulfilling the commitments with the sponsors. And now this year, it has been much more organized.
Okay. With you coming to the DC Chamber of Commerce, was it sort of similar as far as you reaching out to your network and like the first go around, or did you do things differently?
This time?
Yes.
It's a very different organization. It's a very different organization. I don't think we can even compare. It's a different organization, and the DC Chamber has been around for 85 years. The Hispanic Chamber has been around for 45 years, just that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it has a different reach, different people. It's just different.
Yes. Okay. I understand. What would you say drives you and motivates you today?
I always think that what gives me my fire is to do the best I can every day. And I think that every day brings something exciting. Most every day brings something. And then, I have a son, so I love watching him grow. That makes me excited. I don't know, and I have a lot of faith. So I think that everything happens for a reason and it will just get better as we go.
You have such a rich career, starting from Bogota to now here. Now, is there anything that comes to mind that you're most proud of?
What I've been most proud of is that I never know what I'm getting into, and I never get that it doesn't get to me. I remember in Colombia, we did a huge project when the pension funds were becoming private, because all the pensions were managed by the government and they changed the law, and then private funds could become providers of pensions or for work-related issues or for natural death. And I did that plan for an insurance company to become one of those companies, and that was a lot of work, but I didn't get the dimension of what we were doing. I mean, when I look back, I'm like, Angela, how did you see what I'm saying? That's, you do certain things and then you look back and you're like, how did you do that? And then everybody was like, congratulations. But I didn't think it was a big, sometimes I should give myself a little bit more credit, but I didn't. But that's one of the things that I've liked, because it has made me, a warrior. And I just do the best I can every day, and I don't take it for granted. You can never take it for granted wherever you are. It doesn't matter the position you have. You can never take it for granted. Things can turn around in a minute, so you don't know.
That's true. Now it's happened twice as far as you coming to organization as a president and CEO. when you come in like this, what are the first couple of things as far as with the team, with the existing team, as far as any changes? Or typically, I'm sure the plan differs each time, but is there, like, for example, a playbook when you come in as far as what you look out for, what you listen to?
I mean, I just go and see what it is. It's not that I have a process. I think that obviously when you go into a new place, the first thing you look at is people. You know, how is the dynamic? How is the energy? How they connect with you? If they're engaged, if they're not engaged. I always like hearing their story. I like hearing their side of the story, understanding the history. I mean, a lot of people make mistakes in, you know, they have a person that they trust and they bring them along without really getting to know the organization. And I don't think that's as smart in my mind. I think you have to go get to know the organization, get to know the staff, understand the dynamics, understand where you want to go. Mm-hmm. What's your plan? What's your strategic plan? And see if the person you want to bring on board fits in the culture, fits in what you're doing, or if there's some people in your staff that not necessarily are going to continue the path.
That's true. If someone were to come to you, Angela, and say they wanted some advice with their career, is there a couple of suggestions and advice you would give them?
Yeah. So the first one, I would say, you know, aspire. I mean, I always strive to be the best I can, but I never said I am going to be the president of the world. You see what I'm saying? Like I'm ambitious, but in a different way. I'm ambitious because I want to be the best human being I can be. And I think that's our responsibility with the Lord, in my mind. You have to be the best people we can be and to be the best human beings we can be. But I never had in my mind like I was going to become the president of the DC chamber or the president of anything. I never even imagined. I didn't even connected with my leadership skills until not long time ago. You know, I was always behind the scenes and I was good there. I was fine. But I realized in the last 3 years that that's where I'm at my best when I lead. But you have to come to a place of understanding with yourself that that's the place. So the first thing I would say is just connect with you first, with who you are, what you like, with your purpose. And then, you know, everything will fall in place. But don't get things, you know, pushing people down, or, you know, women would love putting the other one down. That's not the way you're going to go up the hill. Or maybe you do, but as the way you up, the way you're going to fall. When you do it well, helping others, you know, bringing other people up with you, and at least to the best of the ability that humans have, everything will work well.
That's true. But if someone says, Angela, I'm still trying to find my purpose, how do I go about in trying to find that? Is there anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I did with my staff. I send them to different places that I could help them. I mean, there's a lot of, everybody talks about coaching and whatever, and there's mm-hmm. coaches. There's good ones and bad ones. But there's a lot of, you know, self-knowledge classes where you can start processing. It doesn't happen from one day to the other, but you start processing a lot of things. But there's some things that come from family. For example, I came from an educator. It's something that I inherited. I love helping others, and I believe in education. Even though I'm not in the education field, in everything I do, I like bringing the education side to it. I love working with people. So there are certain things that we all know we have, right? Like you like, I don't know, you. I don't know what your gifts are, but if you're doing this, it's because you like interviewing people and getting the best out of them, right? In an interview, or being able to share experiences that can help others grow. So that's where you start. And then somewhere around on your path, people are going to help you. And then if you're working, you can say, okay, I connect with these, or I don't. Or, you know, I really don't, like, I didn't like working in a bank, because I was like, you know, I was like, we were charging. I mean, you know, I wanted to have a connection that was more personal. You know, for me, that was very important. So I just got to a point that I said, okay, I'm not developing the relationships I want that go a little deeper. So it was just, you know, different things that you start seeing. So I would say the first thing is understand what you like and what you don't, what people you want to have around and which one you don't. And also it connects with your being. So if you're going to work in a bank, you know, you're going to have to wear a suit more likely. Do you like wearing suits? Do you feel yourself like wearing a suit? Yes or no? I mean, little questions like that are going to be helping you. What kind of people do you want? Do you want, what kind of people do you want around? Do you want super creative people, or do you want more serious people, or do you want a job that you go from 8 to 5, or you want to do something that involves the community, you know, involves being out? Do you like going out? I mean, there's a lot of questions that you can ask yourself as you go. And then little by little, you'll find that. I don't know. I talk to my family and I talk to my friends, and I always ask them at the beginning, not as much now, but at the beginning, I would say, what do you think I'm good at? You know, what do you think is different that I bring? And not everybody can answer that question, but there's some people that can. If you have a mentor, if you have a teacher, you know, what do you think I do that is special? Right. And then they help you get there.
Yeah. They give you some feedback, hopefully some truthful feedback.
Exactly. That's why you need to be careful with whom you ask the feedback from.
That's true. That's true. Angela, are there any specific habits or traits that you use on a daily basis or often that you think have helped you, whether personally or in your business and career?
Well, I do. I am very disciplined about certain things. Like, I'm very disciplined about exercise. I'm very disciplined about the food I eat. So it's not that I don't, here and there, I don't eat a sweet, but in general, I eat very healthy. I pray every morning and every night. And at least every year I do something around leadership. Either, you know, I take a class, or I do something that can help me develop my connection, like my self-development.
So is that your hidden secret there, as far as looking so young, working out and eating healthy?
I eat healthy. I walk a lot. I don't, if I see myself in a situation that is not healthy, I don't stay. Even if it takes me a little longer, but I move on. And I think that's healthy for you. When you are in situations that are not healthy, it's better to, you know, step away.
Sure.
Because then you open the space for something better. So I've always tried to work with people that are positive, have people that I have good spirits around me. They don't have to be perfect, but that are positive and have good spirits. I don't know, I guess that's what it is. And my mother had beautiful skin too. She looked very young until the end. I don't know.
That's good. Well, I'm sure here or there, you might want to eat some, I don't know, pizza or dessert or bread. No, you're very strict with all that. Or do you ever sometimes break a little bit?
Not really. Like I'm gluten free. So I really don't eat. I really don't. Like yesterday, I broke it a little because I had a little piece of bread. But in general, no. That I'm very good at, because I know what it does to you. So I'm like, no. And I don't eat red meat. I eat a lot of fish.
Okay.
Especially salmon, I love. I like beans and rice. I mean, our food, beans, rice, and chicken, I can eat that every single day.
Sure.
So that's what I do. But I eat well. So I eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. And I'm organized with the meals. A lot of people skip meals. That's not good for you. This is a chamber that is very ingrained in the community. I guess that my biggest challenge is making sure we continue to be that. We continue to be influential. We continue to grow. We continue to build programs that support the community. We continue to build trust. I guess that's my biggest challenge, that I want to make sure that we have the right people working there. And this chamber is big in two areas, government relations and networking. So those are two pieces that I need to make sure that I keep very well covered at all times.
So is it a lot, Angela, as far as continuing to do what they were doing prior to you coming, or are you thinking of maybe some changes down the road?
Maybe some changes. We're finalizing our strategic plan, so I'm sure some changes are going to come out of that. and upgrades. And, you know, we are, I'm big in adapting to whatever is in the market. And, you know, I see that we have to do more things that are hands-on and really connecting business to business. And that's kind of where we're heading.
What do you know now that you wish you would have known at the start of your career?
Not to be emotional, sleep on it. Everything will fall in place. And really too, I think that what I really wish I known is to listen to my intuition. If I had listened a little better, maybe I would not have gotten in so much trouble when I was younger, because I was like very, I want to do what I want to do, but I always would go against the flow because, you know, that's what it is. And that it doesn't work that way. You just have to see and observe what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, and we put ourselves in situations, right, that not necessarily are the most comfortable, because it's that way, but it should not be that way. We should be not in full comfort, because there's always going to be challenges, but in situations where we're comfortable, where we're seeing ourselves be our best, that if we're with friends, we feel that freedom, that if we are at work, we feel that freedom of being you, of speaking you, of thinking you. And maybe that's one of the things that I would have appreciated if I had listened a little more before.
That happens.
Yes.
Yes. You've had this great success. And what I find, Angela, and a lot of people who have and reach a certain point of success, there's obviously in that journey to success, there are some roadblocks and setbacks. Is there anything that comes to mind as far as setbacks that you had, and how'd you maneuver around it?
I think, I haven't seen, when I look back, I don't see it as setbacks. I see it more as learning experiences. And what I try to understand is why they happened, you know, and most of the setbacks is because you don't listen. Because we don't listen.
Here we go again.
We don't listen to us. You listen to everybody but you. And sometimes we want to live somebody else's life that is not ours to live or ours to take on. So I look at it. I mean, for example, starting all over when I was 30, no, it was not easy emotionally. I mean, like emotionally, because you see, what we do is that we compare ourselves with others, right? Where are others doing? I've heard a lot of young people. That's the other advice I would give. I hear a lot of young people. Is that my friends are doing so well? It doesn't matter. You're not your friend's journey. You're your own journey. I am my own journey. And you, when you have that in your heart, is like, even if you set back or if you go back, you're gonna go farther down. So it's just. I don't know. I mean, like big setbacks. No, like I can think of something that I can say, oh, that was bad. Well, situations that have been uncomfortable, of course. But how do I manage? I always use my tools. My tools are, I always do a process that is for me works. That is basically understanding what happened, understanding what emotions, what happened creates on me. Understanding why those emotions are created and what is it connecting with the different things of my life and the parts that I can control and the parts that I can't. So then, you know, the parts you can control, maybe you can shift. The parts you can control, you just have to accept somehow, because otherwise you're going to be living bitterness. You know, people that don't accept things, there's some things you can change. There's some things that you can't change, right? I cannot change the fact that I have black hair. I could paint it, but you know, my hair is always going to be black. So can I change that? No. Right. Can I change that I'm Latina? No. Can I change that? You know, whatever? No. Right. But what can I change is my attitude. What can I change is the people that I surround myself with. What can I change is the way I am going to be living from this moment on. You know, the way I'm going to eat moving from this moment on. And who do I want to be surrounded by? Right? Those are the things you can change. And then accepting the ones you cannot change.
That's very true. I agree. Focus on what you can control, not what you cannot.
And you cannot, I mean, sometimes, you know, when you cannot control something, people put it on a box, even if it hurts. Just process. Process the process. Do the process. Being in pain is fine. People don't want to be in pain. But crying, being in pain is part of who we are as humans. And feeling that pain is part of life. Like laughing, like crying, like feeling excited, like all emotions are fine, are part of life.
So true. When I mentioned the word success, is there anything or any person that comes to mind?
Well, I was going to ask you, what does success mean to you?
To me?
What is success for you? Yes. Because success has a different connotation for everybody. What does it mean for you?
For me personally, success is just always giving it your all. Just being the best that you can be.
Okay. For me, success is that I become what I supposed to, you know. So if I set a lot of personal goals, like, you know, because sometimes I'm not feeling well or I want to change something and I'm like, okay, maybe here I can do something. And when I make it, that's success for me, right? Like I've made a lot of decisions lately and I feel now like, you know, good decisions, you know, so I feel successful in that aspect. So when I think of success, I mean, I think a lot, for example, my mentor, I think she's very successful. She's not because, and she worked and everything, but she's successful because she's at peace. She's happy. She's gives all the time. She's a great cook. She's happy. You know, you talk to her and she's happy. That for me is a successful person. Because when you get to be her age, she's 81. I want to be there. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. So you have to start now, Otto. I don't know how old you are, but obviously you're younger than I am, but you have to start now. Because the next thing you know is that you're there. The next thing I know is that I'm 51. Now, you think I know what time that happened? I don't know what time that happened. But it's just, it's every day that you build that. So when you're her age or my age, you're happy and you look healthy, right? But it's something that you put in your mind now. So she's a person that in my mind is successful.
I'm actually glad you mentioned mentor. That was going to be my next question, Angela, as far as any mentors you had and what you learned from them. So I'm assuming her, and as far as being happy.
Yeah, she's been more than a mentor. She's become more like family. But yes, she's happy. She's always there. She has been very a strong supporter and is a person that I've counted conditionally. So I don't think she has lied to me or do anything to hurt me, or she really has been like a gift in my life. And I've it's interesting because I've always been shy. You know, I was shy when I was little and I love her personality. She's outgoing. She makes jokes. She's funny. And I find, you know, like I love that so much about her that sometimes I'm like, you know, maybe I have some of that within me. And I love it. I love it. I love the person I am when she's around and all the great conversations we have, because we have amazing conversations about life, love, politics, anything. It is really a wonderful, it has been really a wonderful, wonderful relationship.
That's good that you try to pick up the good things from other people.
Yes.
It just reminds me, I tell this, I have three young boys, Angela, and I tell them, look, in life, you're going to see bad and good. Look at it, analyze it, pick the good, learn from that, and the bad, learn from that too, and know not to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how old are your kids?
My oldest is 10, and then 8 and 5.
Wow.
Yes. We have our all three boys. Yeah. Wow. We have our hands full, but it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. Kids are a lot of fun. They really are.
Well, you only have one, and you said it's a boy, right?
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now, what is he? He's probably a young man now. How old is he?
12.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
He's 12. Yeah, he's a young man. He's like, he's taller than I am. But I had my son when I was 38.
Okay. Okay. Is he almost your height? Yeah, that happens. That's how my 10-year-old is. Not my height, but definitely my mother-in-law is taller than my mother-in-law. He's over 5 feet now, I think.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Matthew, I'm almost 5'6". He's almost there.
Wow. Okay. Coming to an end here now, what does the future look like for you and the DC Chamber of Commerce? What's the vision for the next couple of years?
Well, we have developed a strategic plan that has 4 main pillars. One is government relations, membership, programs, and communications and marketing. We're going to be focusing our efforts in developing those. And the goal is to really continue to help businesses grow.
Okay, that's good. When you're not busy, obviously running this organization, what do you like to do in your free time for fun?
I love riding my bike. I love going on walks. I'm a big walker. I love cooking. I like reading. I love spending time with friends. I love being with my family.
Is that your form of exercise, the biking and walking?
I have a trainer every week, and then I walk every day, almost every day for an hour.
Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So, and then biking when I can. Now that it's colder, I don't go as much, but I love biking. I love biking. I need to find a good partner for biking.
It's always good when you can go out and just breathe some fresh air and at the same time get the body moving and do some exercise.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. It's just you feel good and your body is grateful every time you do that.
Yeah, I actually, we signed up the family for next month in December. It's like a Santa elf run to support the local YMCA. And so every weekend now we've made it a plan, weather permitting, of course, that, you know, go out there, just walk. And it's always good when you can get the whole family out there and make it a family event.
That is the best. The kids won't forget that.
Yeah.
They'll never forget that.
Yeah, very true. Angela, if people want to find out more about you and the commerce, where can they go and find out some more information?
Well, they can go to the website. You want me to write down the website on the chat?
No, I'll have it in the link, but okay. You can just give it to them as far as what website they can go to.
It's www.dcchamber.org. And then, you know, that's the website. My email is afranco@dcchamber.org. I always respond. So feel free to reach out to me. If I cannot help, I will refer them to somebody that can help.
Perfect. Angela, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
No, Otto, thank you. I'm glad you're doing these kind of things. It's important for the community. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
If you haven't done so already, please make sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review and comment and let me know what you think. Thank you, and I'll see you all very soon on the next episode.